Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. Thank you guys for tuning in. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Aisha Picott. She is the creator and owner of the Facebook group, Single Black Travel Group. And there is an older 40s group as well that she's also the owner for. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about her wellness coaching company called Gaia Wellness. Hi, Aisha. How are you?
Hi, Tamika. I am great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, thank you for being here.
Yes, I'm so excited. Yes, I am the owner of Gaia Wellness Coaching, my new venture, and the owner of Singles Black Travel Groups. I'll say groups.
Yeah.
Both of them, encompass both of them. Babies.
Right. Okay. And so just really briefly, guys, it's so funny. This is kind of how I met Aisha through the Single Black Travel Group. I don't know how I got there, but I was there and it was great. Just because it connects Black singles, all over the world, pretty much. A lot of us, you know, in the US who are traveling, who live abroad for work, those kind of things, or just making those connections, or even if you're going to a new place and you kind of want to just, you know, if you're alone and you kind of want to just reach out and be like, who else is here? It's great for that. But another great thing about it is that it connects Black people who may live in other countries. So who were born and raised in other countries. And it's that connection as well. So that's important for the Black community as well. So those are some of the things that I liked about the group. And those are some of the things that happen in the group. So, Aisha, do you want to talk about a little bit why you started the Single Black Travel Group?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, 3 years in, we are over 65,000 people in membership. Mm-hmm. And we've just never saw it growing to this amount of membership. We didn't foresee ourselves doing travel trips and organizing trips and things like that. I'm actually so happy to talk about how the group started because it's actually a labor of love. And a lot of people don't know how we started. They mm-hmm. think that we're just a travel group. And right. It's so much more to me than that because it was birthed through my pain.
Okay.
And so when I was in 3 years ago, another travel group on Facebook, one that I won't name, mm-hmm. They're in a bit of hot water right now. Like they've been on the news and everything. Okay. So I won't name the travel group that's gotten in some hot water, but I was in this group. So was another female who my boyfriend at the time was cheating on me with.
Okay.
I posted a picture of myself in Mexico in that group, and he had told her he was going to Mexico with his boys.
Oh.
And she had seen me around, like in his Facebook pictures. He had told her I was a family friend.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yes. But because everybody's so connected through Facebook, mm-hmm. I guess he didn't know that her and I would be in a similar group. Right. He didn't take that into consideration. Anyway, she reached out to me, woman to woman, right. and said, over the past 6 months, I've been piecing things together. And I thought he was cheating on me, but I think that he's actually cheating on you. Mm. And so we talked, and she is an amazing, phenomenal woman. I love our story.
Right.
I love our story. And so she came to me. She let me know what was going on. You know, we confronted him. Of course, he lied, but there was so much, there was overwhelming proof.
Right.
Of everything. Okay. And so for some reason, just being the person that I am, I felt responsible for his actions in her life.
Okay.
You know? And so I was like, you know what? You've only been with him for 6 months. I've been with him for 3 years. You know, right. I was like, you can get over this. We're going to go into that group that we're in and I'm going to find you a man.
Right.
And so I posted a post saying, hey, you know, everybody's in here, but not everybody knows who's single. and singles want to get together and travel with each other.
Right.
So, you know, if you're single and looking, you know, for somebody to connect, you know, drop your name on this post. That post got over a thousand comments in about 3 minutes.
Wow.
Everybody wanted to know who was single because they were looking for a compatible partner
to travel with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, then the post was closed down. And I reached out to the admin of that group. And I said, you know, I didn't mean anything by it, just that people really want, you know, this looks like a need. And he said to me, oh, you know, this is not a singles group. This is not that kind of group. And I was like, well, it seems like, you know, there could be something here, you know, for people to, you know, get what they want from that. You know, he's like, I'm going to leave it up for another 30 minutes. Then I'm deleting it, like, completely, not even shutting down the comments. I'm deleting it. Like, wow. Oh my gosh. Like, okay. And so
it's like he was upset about it.
Yeah, I was like, well, we didn't mean to step on any toes, you know. So my friend, because at this time now she's my friend, and she was like, well, we could just make our own group. And I'm like, oh, I'm on it. I made the group in less than 30 seconds. I mean,
wow,
singles travel black, like, I don't know, then everything just came to me. I made the group. We threw it in the comments and we said, you know what, they're gonna shut this down, but we can take the conversation elsewhere. Just, you know, that we can get together elsewhere. And so before I knew it, her and I were blocked from the group.
Wow. Yeah. He was group. Definitely hating
and,
on something.
And so I went, I mean, I, you know, Tamika, I know from now as being Facebook friends, you know how I am. Like,
yes.
You know, I'm not like, I went to him. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to offend you. I wasn't trying to solicit. I wasn't trying to do anything like that. I was like, but people really wanted to be connected and, you know, you were going to take that down. And so he didn't answer me. He didn't respond anything. That was that. I was like, wow, this kind of, you know, it's kind of hurt. I like the group.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So our first, like, and everybody's coming over like, hey, you know, did you get a chance to get in that group yet before they shut down the post? So our first, like, 100 members came from that group.
Wow. Yep. That's good though. He probably was upset because he was like, she's taking my
and
people.
That's not, that's literally not what I was doing.
Yeah.
And of course, with just speaking, we have a rule in our group that you can't, you know, advertise other groups and things like that.
Right.
Either, but it, yeah. we talk to you. There's, you know, there's a warning, there's things like that. But yeah, he just, that was it. Nobody spoke to me. And that was it. I was like, okay. So we got the group. People were like, oh my gosh, okay, let's meet up. Let's have t-shirts. Before you know it, I'm organizing trips. I am like just funding my love of life because in about 3 months, we turned it into an LLC.
So nice.
Me and this girl who the world says should be enemies because of how we came together. Right. Okay. Started a business from that.
Wow. That's crazy. It's good. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like, I've always wanted to tell our story. I mean, I'm writing a book and that's going to be in there. And what's so mm-hmm. funny is that I moved out of New York. And then she literally, that probably moved out of New York like a year and a half ago. And she moved like 10 miles away.
Wow. Yeah, that's so funny.
So it's like, it's so funny how this woman has, you know, had such a big impact in my life from that turning point in my life.
Exactly. I think that probably too is because both of you guys had, mm-hmm. even though it was a real sketchy situation of how you guys were initially connected or introduced, mm-hmm. probably worked out this way because you both came from good intentions.
Yes.
You both had genuine intentions with reaching out to another. Mm-hmm. It wasn't under the guise of like, I'm going to be, you know, rude to you. I'm going to act like this way to you or that way. And you didn't retaliate or you didn't respond with like negative energy. Like, who do you think you are? Like, you know, it was just very like, it sounds as if you two met each other at a midpoint and was like, okay, looking out for both of each other in a sense. And I think because it was so genuine, it feels genuine too, that this is why all this kind of came from that. When really it could have very well went the other way.
Absolutely.
Which 9 times out of 10, a lot of those kind of situations do. So
I tell her all the time, I'm like, I'm just so grateful that you're you. You know, when we, her and I were talking, she was like, she's like, you're so nice. I don't even know, like.
Yeah.
She got married last year and I was blessed to be at her wedding. And I cried like a baby because that's all I wanted from this. I just wanted her to find somebody who was very real and who needed her. So that felt so good for me to see, like, that was the culmination of everything we went through. Like, her getting married, it felt like everything just came full circle. Like, we came from this painful, horrible situation. You know, we first started to do weekend trips because we didn't want to bite off more than we could chew. I still was new to this. I knew I loved to travel. That's always been in me. But now it's like other people want to take them and assist them. And I'm like, okay, well, this might, you know, branch out into getting me to travel for free or, you know, discounted, whatever it may be. This may be an opportunity. And so we started with doing our cabin trips, and they've been so successful. These weekend cabin trips, we'll go to like the Poconos, rent a huge log cabin, and like have the time of our lives. By the time you leave, you're like best friends with everybody. We've had cathartic experiences. Like, the age range ranged from like, it was probably like 25 to 56. A house full of people who were so, you know, varied in age and experiences, were just given wisdom and knowledge sitting around the fireplace. You know, some people cried with release, like the things that they heard. And this is like men and women, just single Black men and women who just came together out of nowhere, took a chance because everybody's scared.
Right.
I don't know what we're going to walk into. And we don't know what we don't know people. But what we do is we get a private chat with everybody who's going to be on the trip. Okay. And we have them in a chat for like probably like 6 months leading up to the trip. So that, you know, you're familiar. We're talking, we're chatting, you know, so it's not too much.
Like complete strangers when you show up at the house.
So we try to ease you, and we have icebreakers when you first get there. And so like we really try to flesh this thing out so that everybody feels as comfortable and welcomed and invited. And it has gotten so big where this year we had to do 2 weekends.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I remember one had happened this past fall.
Yep.
I've seen them.
That's my favorite one.
And I've seen them, and every time I try to go, like, I can never find a babysitter.
Oh no.
That's always my issue is childcare. So I'm always missing out, but then I'm like, I'm always going to catch the next one because it's just the weekend. And
you have to. It's just the weekend. You're like, you have to tell people in August, like, listen, November.
Right.
I just need these 3 days. I swear. That's it.
Right.
Because it's really like I take them on a morning nature hike. We go through like, it's just, I feel, because I am a psychotherapist as well, that like everything all encompassing, like, mind, body, and soul. I believe in it. And I just love that I'm able to do that there too. But yeah, so those are our weekend trips. We keep that local. We did Ghana for the first time March of this year.
And I remember that one.
That was our test trip. That was because a lot of the stuff in Ghana, you don't know if you were over there before, if it's going to be closed 3 months later. So you don't
know.
Yeah, it's not really, sometimes the websites were not up to date. You know, you can plan to go and do this and then the building's not there anymore. So this was just a test trip to see what we did. But we took 7 people with us.
Okay, that's a good amount. That's a lot of people to keep track of and deal with.
And so I was thankful because I said, okay, that's a small amount of people for me to keep my eye on.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
everybody to get back to the States in one piece. But it was an amazing, amazing experience, Tamika. It was, I can't, like, I will try, but words don't do it justice. To be 2 weeks in the motherland, with everything that's going on, that was going on here even before we left, you know, just to be home, you know, so it's different. And just walking down the streets and everybody's black.
Yeah, that's the same thing. When I did another recording with my friend Jordan, he was saying the same thing. Like when you're there, it's literally just everybody's black and it just feels really good. It feels different. And he kind of was like, he couldn't really explain it either, but it's such a great feeling to have.
You can't, there's no price you can put on you not being the minority. It's just you're comfortable. There's not, you're not looking down the block, and they smile in Ghana.
Yeah, he was saying that too. They actually ask you like how you're doing, how's your day going, and they actually like mean it when they ask you.
and you're like, who are these friendly black people?
I know, huh?
like why? And of course, we have a very different experience of living. And so I found this out. We took a lot of, there's Uber in Ghana. If you don't know, now you know. There are Uber drivers, but they would like you to pay in cash just for people who are traveling. That's just a tip. But you can get an Uber to the clubs. And yes, we did go clubbing in Ghana. It was wonderful. So we took an Uber to the beach, to one of the beaches, and you know, the driver is just like, you know, big smile, hello, you know, where you guys from, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so he was like, yeah, I heard a lot about, you know, America, you know, I was told to be careful over there because you guys are always mean. It was interesting. And I was like, you know, why do they say that? And he's like, I don't know, but you know, my friends, my cousins are over there, and they said that they were told not to. So basically, they're told to stay away from us, because of the, I'm not sure, a lot of what they see about us is on television. And a lot of the stuff they know about us is music videos, television, and movies. And so I said, you know, but do you know like what we went through, you know, over there? He was like, yeah. He's like, I was like, do they teach you know, over here? He was like, yeah, you know, a little bit, but not much. He said, you know, we do know that our brothers and sisters were taken. You know, we don't know what happened after that, and we basically just had to go on, you know. And there, with years and years of, you know, no communication, so there's a huge disconnect, huge. Huge. And so I educated him on a lot of things during that ride. And he was like, I had no idea. You know, he's like, well, he's like, I would kind of walk around upset too. I'm not wanted where I'm at. And I said, it's so, we have such a different experience that it's hard for them to reconcile what happened to us. It's just hard. No one's over there teaching this.
It's interesting too. When I went to Brussels, I went to a heavy Rwandan and Congolese neighborhood called Matonge, and I was chatting. I got my hair done, and I was chatting a little bit in the hair salon. The lady who was doing my hair, all the other women who worked in the salon. Of course, there was a translator because I don't. My French isn't that fluent, and then they were speaking in their native language from, you know, the Congo and Rwanda. And but when translating, the high school girl was telling me, you know, they were asking me like what it's like for blacks in America, because they're taught, based on what she was telling me, they're taught about our history here in the States, as a piece of their history as well. But it's not covered as if it's like an everyday thing. So you know how we have Black History Month here. Unfortunately, we only kind of get 1 month. But so it's kind of like that over there, where like they dedicate like a month to learning, or like a period of time, but it's not intertwined in the curriculum every single day or every area of the curriculum. It's kind of just they have a, I'll say like a segment in a sense. And that probably does change depending on where you are, which country you're in on the continent too. But that's interesting too, that, you know, with Ghana, they wouldn't really be taught, you know, our history, especially being that that was kind of a gateway in a sense. So, okay. And, you know, can you talk a little bit more about that trip then in terms of the other people who were on the trip? What was their experience like?
So the other people on the trip, they had an amazing experience. And one thing I can highlight is when we went to go to the slave dungeons. Mm-hmm. And when you are in the holding cell where your ancestors were held, right, before they boarded that last ship to go to America.
Right.
It's like, insane. And so everything is left just the way that it was. Because wow, when the English settlers got their words to head out, mm-hmm, they just dropped everything and just left. Okay. They didn't set them up with a plan, you know, to, right, to get back on their feet. They just left. Mm. And so it's like they came in, they ravaged the land, you know, pillaged, raped, did whatever they wanted to do. And yeah, then just got up and left. And so the dungeon castles still stand there to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. And they brought us into one of the small, small dungeon rooms. They locked it. And they said, here is where they would keep thousands. And he's looking around. He's like, do you think this place could hold thousands? And we're like, no.
Right.
The tour guide was like, that's it. He's like, all you had was hot bodies pressed up against you for days.
Mm. And I was like, imagine the hygiene.
Yeah. People, oh, you know, he said, yeah, everything. He said the stone is still soft because babies, mothers bled, babies fell out, you know, mm-hmm, miscarriages were had, and everything just was feces, urine, all on the floor.
Right.
And nobody came and swept it up. That was just what you stayed in. So can you imagine the stench?
Yeah.
Was horrific. Like some people passed out from that.
Right.
And it was just so. But also an empowering moment when there's something called the Door of No Return, which is when the slaves went out and onto, mm-hmm, that ship, they didn't come back. So it was empowering for us to turn around and walk back through that door.
Right.
Because our ancestors could never do it.
Right.
You know, and so we ended on that note. It was a somber day, but it was something that we felt like we had to experience, and that's planned in all of our trips there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's a cultural. And then on a lighter note, we did go clubbing. Mm-hmm. We did interact with the beautiful people of Ghana, mm-hmm, you know, and they're blasting Cardi B and Afro beats and all that too. And so the people on the trip really got a sense. We had Reggie, who is my boyfriend, and also mm-hmm, he has family in Ghana. Mm-hmm. And so he surprised me and was able to get the elders together to do a naming ceremony for us.
Oh, very nice.
Because
what happens in that?
Yes, I was always talking about I wanted to be named. Like if I was born in Africa, I would have had a naming ceremony.
Right.
And
right.
So he made that happen and all the elders came together. I mean, they're still warlords. They're still war chiefs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I had no idea. Yes, they're living in apartments and, you know, homes now, but they're still a war chief. And so like you will go to him to any disputes that are going on. And he would like handle them and things like that. And I was like, wow, that's still a thing here. Yes. Okay. Wow. So they come, they get a priest, they bless you. They pick out a name for you depending on the day of the week that you were born. Mm-hmm. My African name is Akua. And
it's pretty.
I got a necklace made there with the name on it. And it was just, we cried. You know, we got dressed up in kente cloth. We had dresses made. So we'll get, you know, we'll have a seamstress come and have dresses made for them. They had an amazing experience.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we did. I mean, when I tell you we hit everything tourist, we went to the beach, we went to the pool, we had food, we had so much food. And Reggie's family, she cooked for us every morning, his one of his aunts. We had authentic Ghanaian food. It was like it was an amazing experience. And 2 weeks there, you feel like you're home. And then we had to go. And 3 days prior to us leaving, we got hit with the news of COVID, and that they
Okay.
were closing everything down, and that flights weren't going out. So unfortunately, the last probably 3 to 4 days, everybody was nervous that they wouldn't be able to get home.
Right. Yeah.
And that everything was, you know, going on in the world, and we didn't know what was happening.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a little scary and a little nerve-wracking, but everybody made it home in one piece.
Good.
But
That
yeah, that was such a memorable. I mean, I have thousands of photos and videos and just footage, as you've seen. I can't post enough. It's like it was just really, really amazing, life-changing trip.
Good,
That one
good,
was.
good. Yeah, everyone says that. I haven't made it to any African country,
You
but
oh, you have to
I'm
come. I mean,
sure they're all life changing, and that is one of my goals to definitely, to make it over there. I've always had an issue with narrowing down where I'd want to go because I feel like there's so many places to choose from. Like, which one do you choose? But yeah, it's always been, in my mind, like I have to make it a point to go. Like I haven't done a lot of international travel, but I do feel like I want to go, when I start doing more international travel, it will be places on the continent. Definitely.
It definitely, the first time I went to South Africa on a missions trip,
Okay.
and that was in 2013, and it was 2 weeks of
So, being that you were able to go to the motherland and, travel to South Africa too and Ghana, do you feel like when you travel that it's sort of therapeutic in a way? I know you incorporate those kinds of activities, but do you feel that it's therapeutic in a way? Like everyone should at least try to travel in regards to their mental health.
It's definitely crucial that you get out from beyond yourself and that you go experience places that you've never been. And that will open you up mentally to just whole new levels, whole new levels. When you stay where you were born, when you just stay in the same place stuck, you stay in the same thinking, you stay in the same mindset. When you travel just cross country, your mindset is expanded. So
Right,
imagine
right.
traveling internationally. I mean, it
Right.
opens you up to whole new ways of thinking, whole new ways of being, you know. And this is why I think a lot of these people, a lot of Caucasian people take a lot of spiritual retreats. They take
Yes.
years off of work to go find themselves in Tibet.
Right. Nope, they really
Okay,
do. They really do.
I said there's a reason. There's a reason these things are happening. You know, I said yes, for us minorities, is it feasible for us to take years off of work to go find ourselves? No, we don't have that luxury, that privilege, you know.
Exactly.
But right now, the way things are set up, even weakness wellness retreats is what we're going to be starting in Single Black Travel Group. Even
Okay.
things like that domestically will start to help you. We'll start to,
Yes,
yeah. And I
definitely.
think that we're coming, our generation and the generation of our kids, we're coming to become more cognizant of we need to do that. We need to be on that same level.
You know, I had actually said that in the group once about mental health and traveling. And a lot of pushback I got on that post was, well, you know, my job is not going to let me leave for 3 months to go find myself, you know, and it's true. So then what do we do? So then let's work around it. So then let's find ways that we can create escapes and oases here, you know, for maybe a weekend. You know, because I said, yes, you know, the same way that we go to the Poconos or with our booze for like a weekend or whatnot, we can make that same, you know, we can make that same sacrifice and effort for our mental health. And so, I think it definitely helps me as a part of my self-care.
Right. I was going to say the same thing, too. I always have at least one trip by myself or one trip without the kids. And that is part of like a mental health thing for me too, because, you know, I need breaks.
Yes. Yes.
I'm a single mom of three. Mm-hmm. I'm very active in my role and I work full time. And it's not like I've got a bunch of free weekends during a whole year, because I'm still parenting and stuff on the weekends too. And you know, I don't get childcare that easily. So when I do my trips, it's a big deal for me because like, this is my kind of, sometimes my very one and only chance to kind of do me and to really relax and recharge and just not have to wear that hat of being responsible.
Yeah, of course. Or,
you know, so for me, that is also like traveling is also and you know, related to mental health for me as well. So I do definitely see the connection of that. Mm-hmm. And just now with everything happening with the pandemic, everybody's like, oh, I want to get out of here. I need to get out of here. Like I need a place to poop and all these kind of things. So it definitely is about mental health as well. And you feel different. Like when you go on, you know, a vacation, you're at the beach or you're just in a new environment, you feel, you know, you feel different. Your mind feels clearer and everything like that. So it is definitely connected to your mental health. So is this something that, you know, segueing into your business, Gaia Wellness, the self-coach business, is this something that kind of gave you that nudge to start this, the wellness coaching?
So I always wanted to work for myself. And so I was laid off recently. And it gave me the push that I needed to go after everything I wanted. I am a wellness coach. I was always a wellness coach. And now I am a holistic life coach certified. And so I got my certification, and just was like, let me go full force with it. I'm a social worker. I'm a master's degree social worker. I'm a licensed social worker. And I've been in the health field for, I just believe in Mother Earth and things like that. I'm very holistic. And so I was like, oh, well, Gaia makes so much sense to me. And so, so Gaia Wellness Coaching came and that's me. And it's so funny that you spoke about like COVID now. People are going to be dealing with the ramifications of COVID for 30 plus years. The psychological damage that COVID has done in just this short period of time, we're going to need a lot more therapy, counselors, life coaches. And so I've actually started a single series session called Coping with COVID. And so I'm working with people right now. I think I'm working with four essential workers because it's hard to get through the day. It's just hard to cope now. And so you have to be on top of your game in the midst of a pandemic, on top of a civil war. That's what's happening in America right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're supposed to function like everything is normal. Everything is not normal. And it's okay to not be okay. Right. Yeah, it's okay to seek help.
That was one of the things that I have a thought about too, especially, you know, with the whole pandemic thing, but with everything in terms of the Civil War happening here, when everything happened with George Floyd and the lynchings that were going on, and just all of that madness and the protests and the looting and the rioting. It was funny to me because just my own personal experience, and then friends that I have and other people on my Facebook and stuff, their employers responded very differently. Some employers were saying, you know what, have a day, you know, for self-care. We know this is a hard time for you, especially as a Black individual. And they would give them like a mental health day, a paid mental health day. Not a sick day, not a, you know, take a vacation day, take a personal day, or take the day off and don't get paid. But it was a paid mental health day. Or some of the employers were doing, you know, they would come in for work, but half of the day they would kind of have their little group meetings and they would just talk about what's going on and how everybody's feeling. So you just have like that raw emotional exchange. But it really spoke volumes in terms of the employer, because it wasn't business as usual and acting like we're living in a pristine world and things are just, let's just keep it going. It was really just acknowledging what was really going on, people having real feelings about it. And, you know, these people are your workers, you know, and a lot when your workers are Black, they are going to feel some type of way, just like anybody else. If you see that your people are getting killed and slaughtered left and right, you're going to feel some type of way about it. And so, you know, for my friends who had that experience where their employers were definitely like, you know, Black Lives Matter, they were all in for them emotionally on another level. I really think that truly was a blessing. And you're right. Like, it does matter. And it's okay to have, you know, it's okay to not be okay, especially given what was going on. But I do agree, too, like with COVID, especially, that there will be a lot of therapy sessions happening. It is a traumatic event for everyone, for the essential workers who saw the dead bodies, who saw people slip away and transition, having to care for the sick people, you know, it's traumatic for family members, traumatic for children, you know, especially toddler age children, small children, just not being in their routine of going to school or what have you, traumatic for those children who are living in stressful home environments with different types of abuse happening, and even for adults who are in domestic violence situations. So yeah, definitely with COVID, you're right. Like, it definitely will be, we will be seeing like the after effects for a number of years to come.
For a long time. And I don't think people really get that. But I really feel like let's be proactive and let's start the healing right now in the midst. That, you know, and so that's what I do. I work to give people coping strategies, coping mechanisms, give them ways to get back into a ritual, because that's what we need more than anything. We need that stability of knowing, you know, what we're going to do. And I always tell people to control what you can control. You can control getting up in the morning, making your bed, you know, writing out a list of three things you're grateful for right now. These things are in your control, you know, and it really helps to set the tone for your day. Now, you don't know what you're going to be facing out there, but you do know what you can do to create inner peace inside here, you know, before you move forward. And that gives them some sense of stability so that they can go forward throughout their work day in whatever they're facing, you know, I mean, because
and it becomes a point of, they know they can go back to this point, like they're leaving, but they can go back.
Yes. And absolutely. And not just essential workers. I'm telling people to limit your exposure to the television. You don't have to check in every single day. You know, you do not need to know the COVID count today. You don't. You know, because what's happening now is that people are going to experience secondary trauma. And so we're going to have a lot of firsthand trauma, secondary trauma. We'll even have some thirdhand trauma. But with that secondary trauma is what we're doing to ourselves by constantly checking social media, constantly checking, keeping up with COVID updates, keeping up with those numbers of deaths and deaths around the world and deaths here and who died today. And that's too much. That's too
Yeah,
much.
it really
So
is.
I really advise you to you can check in weekly, because you we need yes, we need to know what's going on in the world, but you don't need to be tuned in like you are reporting the news if that is not your job.
Right. Yeah,
Yeah.
I definitely have done that approach from the beginning of this whole thing where I was not watching the news for like maybe 3 days. Like every 3 days, I might check in, get a quick tidbit, and then turn it off or read an article and say, that's my info for today, and then leave it alone. Because if you do let it consume you, it will just drive you crazy because it's ever changing. And just the energy
Yeah,
around it. It's very, very anxious and
exactly.
anxiety.
Yes. And that will give you and look what's happening. It's all right, today, yes, wear a mask. Tomorrow, don't wear a mask. Don't wash your hands, this wash your hands. So, like, all right, you're watching every day. Every day the information you're getting is changing. And you still don't know how to function, so that it's not helping you either way. And that's what I was just finding. Like every day we had like a new directive, and it was like, okay, well, you guys don't know much about this either, so what is to be done? And then at that point I was like, what can be done is what I can control. And
Exactly,
yep,
exactly.
that was.
So with Gaia Wellness thing, your approach then is more like proactive to everything that's happening. What else do you help with? So I know it's a lot of
Oh,
self-care. Self-care during the pandemic. Now, do you work on romantic relationships, romantic relationships, platonic relationships? Can you tell me a little bit about
Yes,
that?
absolutely. So I definitely can work on platonic relationships. Those are excuse me, just as important as I have a single session called Detoxing Your Relationships, and that can definitely be platonic or romantic, doesn't matter, because the people that you surround yourself the most with is that's where your energy is going, and that's the energy that you're getting from them. So it doesn't matter, could be a best friend, can be your lover, can be older sister, it doesn't matter. Parent, and we go through a lot of that because as Black people, our Black folks are told that family, no matter what, we stay in contact, whatever, they hurt you, they curse at you, they steal from you, that's still your brother, that's still your sister, that's still your mother, and that is absolutely unhealthy. You can completely love them from afar. That you they don't have to be in your personal space, and we're taught that, and that has to be unlearned. So I get a lot of, I have this relationship with my mother, like, she's abusive mentally, emotionally, abusive, but she's my mother, so I have to, keep giving her the money that she's asking me for. You don't. And so I give you the tools to work through these things and put up boundaries, learn how to put up boundaries for yourself, learn how to say no. I have a whole a session, it's a 3 month series for learning how to say no and creating boundaries for yourself. And it's hard. That's that first no is hard. And that first no without excuse is even harder. Because you can just say no. And everybody always waits for a oh no, because I can't right now.
The
Yeah, no,
follow-up, why
yeah,
not?
no, because I don't have the money right now. No, because you can say no and not give an excuse and not have a reason just because you don't want to. And I help you get out of that guilt of saying no. Because we feel guilty when we say no, and you don't have to have a response. So yeah, I have a package there. I have 6 month packages. I have free con I have a 15-minute free consultation. So I really talk to you, get to know what your goals are and what you want to change, and that's where we start. We start from that point. Because yeah, there's a difference between counseling and life coaching. Life coaching starts right where you are and we look forward. Counseling likes to dig back. And
And if I see that it is something, being that I am a psychotherapist, if I see it's something that really needs to be, you know, you need to dig deeper, I will refer you to some wonderful Black therapists and counselors.
Right.
I have, I make sure that I have those resources as well.
Okay. So, and I know that you also, you write blog articles, kind of given the positivity and enlightenment. Do you want to talk a little bit about your blog articles and your Facebook and IG lives?
Sure. So I do, I missed it this Thursday because I was actually at an event, but I do Tea Talk Thursdays and just talk about things that are everyday occurrences, like, you know, self-help, three ways to manifest, you know, how to actually manifest, what that means. So I give tips and tricks and resources. I talk about relationships. I talk about platonic friendships. And that's on my Facebook. You can find me on facebook.com/GaiaWellnessCoaching. so that's where that is. And my IG is Gaia Wellness Coaching. And that's on Instagram. And I forgot the first question you asked me. I'm sorry.
Just about your blog.
Oh, the blog. Blogspot. Yes. Someone Blogspot. I feel that's Blogspot. So my blog is an extension of, I think, the live streams. So I think it's more in depth what I do in the stream. So the live streams are about 3 minutes, three to 6 minutes long, maybe. I like to talk, as you can tell, and it'll probably go to 10 minutes. In the blog, I can get really deep into what I'm talking about, and it definitely will talk about relationships, manifesting, mind, body, and spirit, wholeness, wellness, health, nutrition, just everyday things that can help. Positivity, right. How to gird up your mind against what's going on out here in the world. I'm going to start to give tips and tricks on self-care while we're in this. I really want to be a resource of positivity and hope in the midst of the climate that we have now. So,
And that's important. Yes. So you talked about with Gaia Wellness, the coaching, the wellness coaching you offer packages, and it sounds like there's a consultation or like a meeting, and then there's different exercises for the individual, and you kind of do like a follow-up. Do you ever provide kind of like a one session, like a one meeting, and it's done? Or is it always just going to be like a package kind of thing?
Oh, right now, for introductory for this summer, and probably I'm going up until the end of this year with just doing single sessions, especially right now, because I think people sometimes don't know what they need help in. So it'll be like, I just need help. Like, I'm not functioning well. And so we can have one session, and I'll talk it out with you, and we can, you know, I'll give you some tools and resources on what you need help with. You know, we'll come about, I'll help you get to the bottom of what's going on. Because right now, who can even, you know, rearrange their thoughts with so much going on around them? They just know that they're just feeling down. They just know that they're feeling anxiety. They just know that they are feeling like, you know, they wake up and their heart is racing. They just know that that's it. That's all they know. So we get to the bottom of that. I help you, you know, I do meditations, things like that. So again, I'm an all around life coach. So we do, you know, I'm going to ask you what you're eating. I'm going to ask if you're eating, if you're sleeping, you know, I'm going to help you towards that. And so, yes, so the single sessions have been very helpful for a few people now. And I'm so happy that I thought to do it.
Good. I was going to say, this is great that you're doing something like this. Over the past, I want to say decade, there have been in the Black community a lot more conversations surrounding Black mental health and us coming together as a people, and why it's important that, you know, sometimes you can't sweep everything under the rug. I mean, as a people, you know, we have endured and we survived that whole slavery traumatic experience. But as you can see, generations later from that experience, there's a lot of, you know, repercussions and stuff that are still happening in us as a people. And, you know, so I feel like one of the things when it comes to our people is, you know, because we're kind of labeled as strong, mm-hmm. Even men, even Black men, especially Black females being labeled as strong, it's a strength as well as a weakness. You know, when we need the help, people feel like we don't need it and they dismiss us because they're like, oh, you've got this, like you're strong, you don't need my help. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so it winds up working against us in a sense, but at the same time, you don't want to come off of it as if you're not strong or you don't know what you're doing or you don't know how to do certain things because you don't want to seem like you're incompetent. So that's one of the things I think that, you know, in the Black community in regards to mental health, I'm glad that a lot of these conversations are coming up now and the importance of our health together as a people. Mm-hmm. And just all of us kind of being on one accord and saying, like, it's okay to not have all the answers. Yes. And it's okay to be there for each other.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that in terms of the Black community and mental health?
I really feel that right now there's even a bigger push for male mental health in our community. And that is just so beautiful to see and like talk to Black men who are going to therapy, because more than, you know, as Black women who mother said, you better not say anything that's going on in this house to anyone. Okay. We were threatened from little, and that stays in you. And then you tell your children, you better not tell anybody what's going on in here. And so we were just generations of fear. And that, I mean, that was birthed out of slavery. We couldn't tell anybody what was going on, you know? So I'm not saying that it's wrong for then, it's wrong for now. You know, so it's just a bunch of unlearning that we have to do. And right now, again, in our generation, I think a lot of people are making that turn, and that's beautiful and amazing. And we just have to keep spreading that message. And so, again, with being the strong Black woman, it's a blessing and a curse. Okay, because again, and it's statistically proven that we're seen as older, even as kids, that we're looked at as we're older and that we can handle more. And so we're not, you know, it's not sexual assault because, you know, we just seem older to them, and we're not. Right. Our children are still children, but we're treated differently. And and so that definitely is something that has to change across the board. And everybody has taken, it's a badge of honor to be a strong Black woman, you know, but then you can't show weakness then what, that, you know, where do you be weak at? Where can you be weak, you know? And everybody's not invincible. So it has to take a bunch of unlearning. It has to take compassion and empathy from both sexes. You know, it has to take a man coming to his woman and saying, you know, I'm not feeling, you know, well, like, I'm not sure how to handle this, and her not say, you're not a man.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's going to have to take a lot of that. And where does that learning come from? You know, somebody has to stand up and just make articles about it and get on platforms about it, like we're doing right now. You know, mm-hmm. and getting the word out there, like, it is okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Right. And so what do you think? I know we touched on COVID in terms of like a traumatic experience for everyone in a sense. What do you think about it though, in terms of its effect on the Black community specifically?
What was harmful was, I think at the beginning of this, they said it was hitting the minorities harder. And it was because I forgot why they said it was, because from then until now,
the news reports and headlines have changed so much, you know. But I think they were saying it was like in neighborhoods of minorities that were poor that it was happening, and then everybody got it. And so, then it wasn't. But just for us, I mean, we were just disparaged to begin with. And so this didn't help. This didn't help.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely. It's funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's interesting, I should say, because when this first started happening worldwide, it was like the continent of Africa was kind of like the untouchable continent when it came to this. And the news and everybody's like, why? Why is that? Like, they didn't like
it. I was so proud.
And and then, you know,
I mean, eventually got there.
Yeah, but they were just so upset that it wasn't there, and like, how could this be? And it was just like that, you know, it was just another way for you to see just how they look at Black people. But even here, when it was coming here to the States, and now Black people in the States started getting it, that I totally understood when it came to the poorer communities, because you think about the food options that you have in these poorer communities, majority of them have Black people living in it and other minorities. They don't have healthy food options. Oh, yeah,
they couldn't just go to Whole Foods and, you know, couldn't go to Whole Foods and get a ginger shot for, you know, immunity. Yeah,
exactly. No, they couldn't. And so even with that, knowing that, and, you know, all of even the ghettos and all of that was by design, you know, by white supremacy. Yep. So it's like they never had a fair starting point to begin with. And so I felt like, you know, they really, it was sad that a lot of our people were passing away from COVID here in the States and in the poorer communities. But they really used it. Yeah, they were relaying information to the public, but it's almost like they were happy to relay that information. Mm-hmm. Like, see, Black people can get it too. And it was just like, okay, but here's why Black people were getting it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the underlying health conditions that our people have here in the States are based on diet, which is controlled on where you live, and all of these other little layers that you can just unravel. So I do feel like, you know, with COVID in the Black community, it's sad. It is informational. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, they just ran with it, and they just used it in the wrong way.
Absolutely.
And so what is your opinion on the current racial tensions that's happening and its effect on the Black community?
This has been one of the biggest movements since the civil rights movement. And it's going to be just as effective. So a lot is going to happen from this. I'm not even sure if they're still protesting, but there's been protests every day for I think like 60 days or something like that. It's kind of like that. But I think I forget the number now, but after 51 days, I believe, I'm not sure, but the civil rights movement policy was passed, the act was passed. And so they're going to keep going until a lot is done. We now have Generation Z with us, which is, I mean, I need to let you know that these kids will go to war. They will go to war. Yeah. They are like the 1970s kids who was like out there protesting and I against nuclear war and all that, love, peace, and war. That's Generation Z. That's where they are right now. And
I feel like they just, for some reason, they just have a load of energy.
Generation Z's hopped up. Okay.
I really feel that too.
And I have like my ear to the ground there because my son is 17 and he's letting me know the movements that's happening, what they get together on Instagram and on Twitter and they form movements against people. Like they're like, this is a guy who's trying to put a policy against LGTB. He's like, they're about to do this. We're about to flood his inbox. We're about to call. Like they are moving in a way that like our generation really didn't have to. you know, and that's yeah, we really didn't have to. And so they are really putting boots to the floor and they're going around. So I'm really proud of them. I'm proud to pass the torch to these change makers because that's what they're doing. And it's so funny though, because my son, he just gave me a meme that said, you know, Generation Z, you know, will go out there, bombs, you know, anything, like we'll go into the face of rioters and everything, but they right. won't really tell like somebody behind the counter that they made their order wrong. And I was like, it's true. It's true. They're kind of still passive in some ways and kind of still meek. But in other ways, they're really, really like, you know what, this is wrong and we don't stand for it. So right. it's really funny, but I'm glad to be witness to my son's generation and what they're doing. Yeah. And so it definitely is going to be drastic change. And I've had to have, and I tell people this too, to have talks with your teenagers, have talks with your middle schoolers. You have to talk to them about what's going on, because we can't just think about, I mean, if it's affecting you, just think the person who's listening to this right now, all the feelings that you felt, all the emotions that you feel, imagine your child who's not really able to communicate what they're feeling. How, and you know, they don't know. They just know that you're sad all the time. They know that you're worried all the time.
Right.
Kids pick up on this. And so
they can't express it, but they know something
you
involved.
You can't just like, just sweep it under, oh no, that's just turn it off. Just go in the room. Really just talk, bring your kid out and just say, hey, just want to talk to you about what's going on in the world. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how to start the conversations with their child. Right. And so it just starts there, you know, hey, I just want to talk to you about what's happening in the world. Like, let's just talk about like, how are you feeling about it? That's it.
Yeah. I know with my kids, I do that too. Mm-hmm. Like usually once a week, I'll try to have like a real Black history lesson.
That's
with them. I feel like
dope.
I teach to them in different mm-hmm. ways, but I try to have really one time a week for maybe 2 hours. Whether it's the beginning of the day or the end of the day, where I really just like, really go deep with some things, and we talked about a lot of the stuff that was happening.
Do you see it? That's wonderful.
And it's interesting because, you know, I have 3 kids and they're all different ages, so they're different levels of understanding of the information that I'm giving them. And so you can't get too gruesome.
Yeah, of course.
it's hard as a parent to find a balance, but it is important to have the conversations with them because they need to understand the different layers and different ways that things are masked.
Yes.
To get the wool pulled over your eyes. And you have to be able to see through that and not always fall for that just because it's presented nicely on a platter for you. And I always tell them and teach them, like, you have to think for yourself, you know, always just think for yourself and just keep your mind open and be observant about everything around
mm-hmm.
you.
And you know, speaking of,
all right, so now, well, do you have anything else that you want to say about Gaia Wellness or anything like that?
I just want everyone to know that I'm here for them. And that I am really, that I'm here for them and that I'm doing mm-hmm. single sessions. And that if you, you know, are kind of on the fence about asking for help and, you know, not sure where to go, then this is definitely something that you can start with to see if it's something for you, if we're a good fit. Okay, because Gaia Wellness Coaching is here to just meet you where you are and give you resources to help you feel better.
Right. And it's so important now with everything happening, especially for our people.
Yeah, you can't
to have an outlet.
Yeah, you can't pretend that you know, it's not business as usual. It's just not. And I'm dealing with essential workers who have to go fight battles and then come home to two children. You know,
right.
And then I'm dealing with some essential workers who've been isolated for months from their families. You know, and then to go back home, it's how do we go back to normal? Like, I don't feel normal, you know?
Right.
And so it's just, it's a lot of that right now. And so
I really feel like we need to start the healing right at this moment so that we don't go down further a hole that we can't dig ourselves out of.
Right.
Yep.
Very, very good. All right. So now we're going to get into my next segment of the podcast. It's called Say What's on Your Mind. And this is just kind of where someone will send me a question or an opinion or just a thought, and I'll read it. I'll keep it, you know, anonymous, confidential, so I won't reveal who sent what, but I'll read it, and hopefully they're listening and they can just listen to what we decide to give on feedback. So one thing that I got, it says, how important is it for a woman in a serious relationship to interact with and develop relationships with her man's mother and his friends? What do you think about that? I personally feel like it does matter. It definitely does matter, but to an extent. I feel like, you know, there are definitely boundaries when it comes to the family and, you know, your boyfriend. It's good to have a good relationship with them, but I do feel like, you know, certain topics of conversation are probably off limits. And then, you know, with your boyfriend's friends, also, it just kind of is, you know, you always just having to remember, like, yeah, we're all, you know, we're all friends, but you're really his friend. You know what I mean? So I do feel like there's a little bit of a, not caution, but just something to make and keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I think you hit on it when you said boundaries. So right. Yeah, definitely you want to have a good relationship. When it comes to the point of them telling you what to do inside of the relationship, that's right. When that becomes a problem. So right. Everything should definitely be pleasant and cordial. You can form, you know, a relationship. You don't have to be best friends. So, you know, right. Don't think that if you're not best friends, then, you know, then this is a bad relationship. Nope, not at all. But right. You're dating the person and not right. Their family. Right. So, you know, a lot of women are over, try to get in with the person they're dating by going above and beyond, you know, to try to make the family happy. Mm-hmm. When that's not your portion. You don't have to do that. People, if right. they don't like you just for you being you, you know, then right. that, you know, you keep that as arm's distance, you know. And if right. the person that you're dating likes you, that's really all you have to worry about. But yeah, I mean, right. definitely just be your wonderful self, and, you know, be right. pleasant, but you definitely don't have to overextend yourself to make somebody like you.
Right. Right. Yeah, I was going to say, even at one time I was dating someone and he introduced me to his family, and I was just a little surprised, but in a good way. But it was still kind of like, wow, you know, I always thought of it like if a guy introduces you to his family, especially his parents, or especially like mom, it really means that like he really likes you or he's really feeling you. And so I was surprised, but it was a good feeling. But I definitely felt like, okay, at the end of the day, you know, it's good that he introduced me to them. I can build a little bit of a relationship or rapport with them, but also at the end of the day, like, that's his family and, you know, I'm getting to know him. So, you know, let's, like, if me and him do something, I shouldn't automatically think like, well, let's invite them, or, you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, in this day and age, when they introduce you to their family, sometimes it doesn't mean much. Because
right. that I've learned that
yeah,
too.
Because they'll cover for them if they know that they're seeing another person. Yes. And so that's why now I take that with a grain of salt. I mean, it used to be a big deal. Now it's like nothing. And I've had that experience more than once, and so have a few of my friends. So it's like, and then right. one of the friends, that she said she actually, the mother knew that the son was bringing all these women in and out, but that's his mother. So right.
she's not going
to
tell you.
Yeah, she has no loyalty to you. So, you know, right. they're on the same team. So always remember that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, I've been in situations too where like I've met a family member, whether it was the mom or the dad or like, you know, a cousin or something, and the other person, you know, the person I'm seeing at the time or whatever, they had introduced another one of their, I'll call them candidates.
I love that.
Another one of their candidates to the family members as well. And so it was like the family was seeing like both of us.
Yes, look at that.
And it was kind of like, oh my God. And when I look back at it now and I'm like, goodness gracious, I probably look so stupid because they're probably thinking like, does she know? Like, no. You know, but yeah, it's very true as well. Like, meeting the family doesn't necessarily mean anything nowadays yeah. either.
So to keep that at the forefront of your mind as well.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
The only time will tell. And definitely right. use your discernment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have for this episode. I thought this was a great talk that we had. We talked about some really good pieces. And necessary pieces, I think, especially for today and even for future years, that just things, conversations that need to be had. Do you want to share one more time your social media?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You can find mm-hmm. me on Facebook. It is facebook.com/GaiaWellnessCoaching. I'm on Instagram, Gaia Wellness Coaching, and so is Singles Black Travel Group. Singles Black Travel mm-hmm. Group is... yeah, I believe a singles Black Travel Group. Just that's all it is on Instagram. So it's that yes, right. that long is at Singles Black Travel Group. Yeah, so you can find us there. Yeah, that's it. That's all my socials.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm gonna have to. I know I'm following all yes. of them on IG yes. and yeah. on Facebook. I'm probably like a stalker.
Follow me everywhere.
yeah. But I'm definitely going to have to get in on one of those singles cabin yes. trips or one of those things. I think that would be very, very fun. Yes.
Come join us. Everybody come join us. Come join us. Yeah. If you're single, you're Black, and you're looking for other like-minds there, professional, just right. overall well-rounded people, you know, right. that you want to travel with, let's do it. You know, we're not those people where, you know, 5 days before the trip, everyone falls off.
Right. I know that's the worst.
You know, so we're actually still there at the end of the trip, ready to welcome you.
okay.
Thank you so much for having me, Tamika.
Yes. Thank you, Aisha, for being on the episode. Thank you guys for listening, and follow Aisha on her social media. Check out Gaia Wellness. Check out the Single Travel Group if you're single. And until next time, be well. Bye, everyone.